The Public News Service Daily Newscast, June the 7th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Illinois is set to become the first state to prohibit the use of deception by law enforcement officials when interrogating juveniles. More on that from Lily Bulkey.
Laura Kaseberg with the Illinois Innocence Project at the University of Springfield says in many wrongful convictions of children and teens, police have promised leniency or release. For example, telling a juvenile that if they tell interrogators what they want to hear, they'll be able to go home or see their family, or that they'll put a case through family court instead of processing them as an adult.
When you see what tactics are used and what is generating false confessions, deception and lies in the interrogation room most assuredly lead to false confessions. So this legislation was directed to try to eradicate that practice.
Nationwide, research shows the majority of people wrongfully convicted of crimes and later exonerated are Black. Kaseberg hopes other states also will ban deception in interrogations. She notes the legislation is pending in Oregon and New York. I'm Lily Bulkey reporting.
That bill was supported by a bipartisan group of state lawmakers. It's now on Governor J.B. Pritzker's desk. Advocates urge him to sign it into law. CNN reports Democratic Senator Joe Manchin Sunday defended his decision to vote against a sweeping voting rights bill and reiterated his opposition to gutting the filibuster. CNN notes that Manchin's opposition to changing filibuster rules stands as a major roadblock to Biden's legislative priorities, as current rules allow Republicans to hold up many of the progressive bills the administration supports. That includes infrastructure spending, federal voting rights legislation, and climate change legislation. A court in Tennessee set up a new pilot program giving people with unpaid medical bills an option to negotiate online to resolve disputes without having to enter a courtroom.
Advocates of the online medical debt resolution platform say it's intended to provide a less intimidating venue for anyone with this type of debt to receive assistance. Hamilton County Judge Alexander McVeigh says most cases are settled by default judgment, which means the debt collector can begin garnishing wages.
Debt ends up kind of spiraling out of control and does so very quickly, and it affects all ages, all races, all socioeconomic classes. This is something that everyone can identify with.
He explains individuals can register on the program's website and send a message to the hospital before a lawsuit is filed. They'll receive a message from a representative beginning a conversation in which strategies, from payment plans to adjusted pricing, can be worked out. Tennessee is one of the states with the highest rates of per capita medical debt in the nation. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
This is PNS. As you probably know, the Internet has become a key facet of life during the pandemic, but access still lags in many parts of the country. More on that from Eric Tigetoff.
The Internet has become a key facet to life during the pandemic, but access still lags in many parts of the country. To help people afford high-speed Internet, the Federal Communications Commission has set up the Emergency Broadband Benefit. The $3.2 billion program helps reduce prices for high-speed Internet services to people who have experienced financial setbacks during the pandemic or are struggling to get by. Lupe Whistle is state director of AARP Idaho.
What we have learned from the COVID pandemic is that the access to high Internet is not a luxury. It's really a necessity.
About 70% of Idahoans have access to broadband Internet, but gaps in services are greater for people in rural areas and living on tribal lands.
The FCC has a list of participating service providers, and people can apply through those providers. Racial justice advocates say they hope their movement doesn't slow down after the recent anniversary of George Floyd's death and the conviction of Derek Chauvin. Christian McCleary works with the Council for Black Male Success, among others, in St. Paul, and says the visible elements of the demand for change are important, but it cannot be the only way to achieve equality.
It's beyond just the policing. It's the housing, it's the education, it's the mentorship, it's the relationships. All of those things are not being prioritized.
The council was formed about 6 years ago through the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation. Its mission centers around lifelong mentorship for Black males. Finally, Mike Bowen tells us the Great Lakes and their surrounding regions have seen federal investments for restoration efforts, but those fighting on their behalf say more is needed.
The White House spending plan would put billions of dollars into water-related projects in the Great Lakes region, while the American Jobs Plan proposes millions more. Laura Rubin of the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition says with sewage contamination closing beaches and toxic pollution threatening the health of communities, it's time for Congress to come together with the president on this approach.
To invest in solutions that will restore our Great Lakes, protect our drinking water, safeguard our public health, and support local economies.
The coalition estimates over the next 20 years, Wisconsin will need nearly $24 billion to modernize wastewater and drinking water systems. The Biden plan would increase the budget for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative by $10 million and give the EPA an extra $2 billion to allow for greater oversight of polluters. Republican opponents in Congress have balked at the price tags for the administration's proposals, prompting a series of negotiations.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small, and online at publicnewsservice.org.